You have your Bible. Let's first go to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Great service thus far. We give God the glory for it. I hope you're thankful to be a part of what God is doing. And get in on everything you possibly can. Don't be on the bench. Don't be on the sidelines. Get into it. Be involved. And I find that the more active we are, let's be already moving. Remember, we learned about that on the Lord's Day. Peter was already moving. He was already going to the next city. He was going to the next place. And he was involved already. And so, you know, sometimes we got to just ask the Lord, you know, Lord, help me to get moving. And I'm caught, stuck in a rut. God, give me a swift kick. And he'll do it lovingly. And that we might get moving for God's glory. And I'm thankful for a new year, a new month. We're halfway through the month almost already. I'm thankful for this new place that we're working on, that God is helping us with. And so you have a choice. We have a choice. You can sit around and sulk and suck on persimmons and do all the rest of it. And you can do that. Go ahead. If you want to live like that, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live in the glass half empty. I want it to be half full as often as I can. And so you have a choice to rejoice. And so choose to do that. Choose to, boy, I tell you what, take some admonition. We were challenged in those missionary letters, weren't you? Think of this or think of this. You choose, whatever. Go ahead, make your choice. And rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, that was sermon one. Let's go to sermon two. Romans 10:14. You might be able to quote it by memory. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? At one time, statistics told us that two-thirds of the world's population was not saved. Meaning, I think I said last week that there were 7.8 billion people at that current, as of last Wednesday. I don't know, I didn't do the math, but that means that according to statistics say that two-thirds of that 7.8 billion would not have believed, in whom they have not believed. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Again, statistics tell us that there are billions of people that haven't even heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And how shall they hear the gospel without a preacher? Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. How are they going to believe when they don't even have the word of God? Whether it's by radio, whether it's by a preacher, whether it's by a John and Romans, whether it's by a gospel tract. It doesn't matter how they get the word of God, but the Bible here very clearly tells us that the hearing of the word of God is what brings about faith, what brings about the conviction that is necessary. I'd like to speak to you this evening for a little bit on communicating the gospel. Communicating the gospel. Do you know that today we can hear the communication of everything you could imagine? You could go on the computer, you could go on YouTube, you could turn on your radio, and all day long things are being communicated. Unfortunately, I got to figure out how to deactivate it, but I signed up for Fox News updates. I got to turn that thing off because I'm getting sick and tired of hearing the communication on the news. Now, I want to keep up to date at some point, to some level. I don't want to live under a rock, but at the same time, what am I communicating and what am I allowed communicating to me? So many of us are good at communicating what we know to do. Some of you are experts at communicating how to build something. Praise God. I need to take your class. I'm not bringing that down and saying that that's wrong. But we know how to communicate what we know how to do. You understand what I'm saying? If my dad was here tonight, my dad could communicate with you and could communicate with me about painting. I think I know how to communicate, but I really don't know near of what my dad. My dad has been painting for over 40 years. Probably, no, actually, no, more like 50 years. I think he started as a teenager. That would be into 60 years now, right, Dad? And so he knows how to paint. He's done it for decade after decade after decade. And so if you wanted to learn about painting, he may not put it into the most technical verbiage, but he could help you to learn how to paint because it's something that he knows how to do. Some of you out there, I would be your worst student, but you know how to play the piano, or you know how to blow a trumpet, or you know how to play a violin, or you know how to play a flute. You know how to play the saxophone. Hey, I'd like to learn how to play one of those. And you know how to play a musical instrument. It's something that you know how to do, so you could teach me how to play a musical instrument. Again, I would probably try your patience, but you could teach me because you know how to do it. So communication is really just taking what we know and giving it to someone else. You know, and I think about that. And, you know, if I could, and again, this isn't me. This is just because, some of the things I was brought up under. But if you wanted to know about basketball, again, I'm out of the loop a little bit. But I think I could communicate with you about basketball a little bit. If we sat down and we could just talk about basketball and rules and things and the way things work and all that. I could communicate a little bit about that because it's something that I know how to do. You think about what you know how to do. And again, and these aren't bad things, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm saying simply this, that communication is easier when we know what we're talking about, right? Remember those tests in school that you used to take and you were trying to communicate on the essays, but you had no idea because you didn't study, so you were trying to make all kinds of snow. Ever heard of those, you know? Snow job? That may be unfamiliar to those of you, maybe if English wasn't your first language, but that was what we called it when we were trying to fill out an essay and we really had no idea what we were talking about. We couldn't communicate properly what the teacher wanted us to put on paper. You know, I think about it. Really, as Christians, every born-again child of God, if you can't communicate about anything else, and that's not true, you can, and we can, because God's given us the ability to communicate about things and helped us learn things. And again, praise God for that. But what about the gospel? Can you communicate the gospel? Can you communicate what God did in your life? You say, Pastor, I'm shy, I don't like to talk. That doesn't mean you can't communicate the gospel because you're shy and you don't like to talk. Everyone that has been saved by the Spirit of God can communicate and ought to be communicating the gospel. And again, I submit to you, you can communicate about something tonight that is not the gospel, anything else, because you put time into it. You can communicate about your profession because you've been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years. You can communicate. I'm not going to start naming professions because you'll think I'm talking about you because I know some of your professions. But you can communicate in that field because it's part of you because you've been doing it for year after year after year after year. And praise God for all of it. I'm not making light of it. I'm just saying, can we communicate about the most important thing that we should be able to communicate about, and that's the gospel. Remember, why is that important? Because every soul has value. Every soul will spend eternity in heaven or hell, and Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Now, we got to be able to communicate that. And again, it is not solely our responsibility to save someone. That isn't what I'm talking about. But how shall they hear without a preacher? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15. The more time we put into whatever the topic is, the more effective we will be in communicating said topic. You can look at secular things, it's not in a bad way. You can look at whatever it is, a sport, a trade, whatever. The more time that goes into it, the more that we learn about it, the better off we can communicate it. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? the gospel. I declare it unto you. I communicate it unto you. I present it to you. I want to tell you about the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Okay, so how do we get saved? We get saved through the gospel. If people are going to know Christ as Savior, it's going to be because of the gospel. So if there's one thing that we as God's people need to be able to communicate, it is the gospel. If we can't communicate about anything else, and I think we can communicate about more, but the most supreme thing that we need to be able to communicate from this book right here is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, praise God. It is the only hope that mankind has who tonight are headed for a crisis eternity. It has nothing, the physical ailments that are in people's lives are nothing compared to eternity in the lake of fire. And the only way they're going to escape the fires of hell is through the gospel. And I've got to be able to communicate that. And you've got to be able to communicate that. Paul says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How Christ died for our sins." That's the first part of the gospel. And we covered that a few weeks ago, the death of Jesus Christ. And that he was buried, verse 4. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus Christ died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus Christ rose again. Communication, whether it be the gospel, which we're talking about tonight, or whether it be you're trying to teach someone a trade, or you're trying to teach someone something, normally there's a plan to follow. Plan. If you're training somebody on the job, there's typically an order that you have to take them to learn the job. You got to teach them this, and then this, and then this, and then this. It can be changed slightly and varied slightly, but there's some sort of plan in place. I remember years and years ago in the telemarketing company that I worked in, God allowing me to work my way into a training position and then into management. But in that training position of telemarketing, Monday through Friday, the first, I think, 3 days, we spent in the classroom learning about the product we were marketing, learning about the basics, and it was step one and all the way through. Every week of my life at work in that time, I was doing the same thing every time. What was I doing? I was communicating with them about being a telemarketer, the people that you don't want calling you. I was one of those one day. Oh, it won't long. I don't think I called you, though. Communicating and teaching them, but it was over and over and over again. And you know what? After a while, and I'm saying this about telemarketing. I'm not saying this about the gospel. I could close the book and have taught the telemarketers Monday through Friday. I could have done it blindfolded by the time I did it for a few months because it was the same plan over and over again. I'm not saying telemarketing is telling the gospel, but I'm trying to get you to see an illustration there that when we know something and it becomes part of us, then we can communicate it better. When it comes to communicating the gospel, you need to have a plan. What is your plan? If somebody came up to you within the next 24 hours and said your name and said, "What must I do to be saved?" You say, "Pastor, that's not going to happen." Well, first of all, don't think like that. I believe there's people all around you and all around me at any moment of any time. I'll give you an example. Tonight I was walking over to Subway. I was standing at the corner of Edmonds and Canada Way. And thank God for Subway coupons. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Subway coupons. But I was kind of in a daze, you know. I did have my phone in my hand. I wasn't even looking at it. I was just kind of staring off into, there was two or three other people, you know. So anytime you're at a street corner now, you're kind of like, I don't wear a mask when I'm outside. Sorry. So some people had one, some people didn't. But I wanted to respect, you know, their space and all of that. And so I was kind of concerned about that. But I was just kind of staring off, you know. And all of a sudden, bang, two cars hit each other right here in the intersection. Just tonight. They were fine. But I got my phone out right away, and what did I do? I called 911 right away. I started crossing the street. 911 picks up. I said, we just had a pretty good, I wasn't saying it like this, but just had a really, couple of cars just hit each other, la-la-la, all the information. What do they want to know? They wanted to know the details. Did you see it happen? Did you see this? What street are you at? What city are you in? Is anybody hurt? Do they need an ambulance? Boom, 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 boom. What am I saying? I'm saying this, that was a pressure moment, adrenaline, whatever. But you know what? Here's someone. What I'm saying is this. We don't know what's going to happen in a given day. We don't know who we're going to come across. We don't know what's going to come across our path. And you know what? If I would have just sat there and stood on the corner and cried, said, oh, I'm so sorry for those people. I'm not saying I'm sorry. I'm just saying that God, something is coming in your life. Something's coming in my life. And we need to be prepared, not just to call 911, but to be able to communicate the gospel. Then it becomes second nature. When you see a wreck, call 911. When God brings somebody across your path, first thing, the gospel. God, even if it's just planting that seed, and that's not simple and insignificant, it's very important. Now, the plan that you have, or the plan that I have, isn't what brings conviction to the individual. It doesn't save them. It doesn't convict them. The Holy Spirit must always be our guide. Now, God wants everyone to know that they have eternal life. Would you go with me to 1 John 5? 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Verse 13. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things, what are these things? You go up to verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you. These principles have I written unto you, so that you can know that you have eternal life. I'm thankful tonight that I stand here before you knowing that I have eternal life. Why? Because I have the Son. I have Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I have the Heavenly Father. I have God as my Heavenly Father. I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me. This is a promise. I know I have eternal life. But man, there's so many people in our world today, and our mission field is, our Jerusalem is Burnaby. Our mission field, our Jerusalem is Surrey, is Coquitlam, is Port Moody, is Delta, wherever you live, wherever you're listening tonight, wherever the area you live close to, that's your area. Where you go, go with a plan, go with the gospel. So what are we going to tell someone? Again, I submit to you that if somebody came up to you and asked you about the project that you're working on at work right now, you could tell them about it. Why? Because it's something you deal with 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and rightfully so. But don't you think if we have the only hope for mankind, if we have the only answer for the sin-sick soul, I think probably we should know how to take this book right here and take someone and converse about the gospel. I want to give you, in the remaining time that I have, a plan. Okay? Would you go with me to John 3? John 3. We're a teaching time tonight, but I hope you're challenged about this thought of communicating the gospel. John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm just going to give you a five-step plan. It's not a matter of if you skip one step or miss one step, but this is a plan. This is a plan. What is your plan? I don't know what my plan is. Okay, then we need to help with that. We need to get some things down. We need to write some verses in the back of your Bible. Get a Soul Winner's New Testament. Have it with you. Make sure you have tracks. Obviously, the tracks have the plan. A plan to follow. Again, it's the conviction is not in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Conviction is in the Holy Spirit of God when the Word of God is given. Have a plan. Can you communicate the gospel? John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I believe it is very important right off the bat that we help people understand God loves them. God loves them. John 3:16. How about this one? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I'm going to be, that's why I hope you can write them down, because I'm not going to take a lot of time. I'm just reading, and I'm going to give you these 5 points. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us." Do you realize that the majority, the big religions of our world today do not picture God as a God of love? They don't picture God in a personal way. They definitely don't picture God in a loving way. My Bible says, and your Bible I'm sure says, God so loved the world. The Bible says here, God's love is great. You know how many people have been told in their lifetime God loves them? I believe you'd be shocked to find out how few people have ever been told God loves you. That is the whole essence of the gospel. We don't have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ without God's love. We're just going to hell. But God loves us. His mercy, wherewith His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And so here's some verses. Understand that God loves you. John 3:16, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. Then number two, realize your condition. And then we go to Romans 3. Romans 3. Realize your condition. And by the way, you personalize this. You talk about how you know that God loves you. And you've experienced God's love in your life. And again, some people are complete strangers. Other people are people you work with every day. And you have a relationship. Maybe the wall's already down, so to speak, in the relationship because you're battling with them every day. I don't mean that in a negative way, but you're working hard every day beside so-and-so or with so-and-so. And so they already know who you are. By the way, they've already seen your walk as a Christian, hopefully, right? You haven't been undercover for Christ. And you can't now witness to so-and-so because of the way you treated that individual. If not, if you did, you're going to have to apologize first, by the way. But I'm saying these can be used in a complete stranger. It can be used in someone that you work with every day. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." This is the condition. This is my condition. I always, whenever I'm talking to somebody about the gospel, I don't just say you. I say me. I'm a sinner. And then for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Those are the familiar ones that we use a lot. But how about this one? Go to John 3. Here's one to write down. John 3. It is very important when you're talking to someone about the gospel to establish the biblical truth that they are a sinner and they are lost. You cannot be saved until you know you're lost. And by the way, if you're listening right now, you say, "I need this for me. I'm on my way to hell. I'm not saved. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior." Then you've tuned into the right episode of Anchor Baptist Church, so to speak. Because what we're giving you right now is the way you can be saved tonight, how you can know you're on your way to heaven. It starts with realizing God loves you. Secondly, recognizing your condition. And your condition is condemned. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Hallelujah. You've been saved, you're not condemned. Amen? I'm thankful for that. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's me. It's talking about me before I got saved. It's talking about you right now. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you're condemned. There's nothing you can do about it. You're condemned already. That's your condition. That's my condition. Realize God loves you. Recognize your condition. Number three, God has a price on your sin. God has a price on my sin. Romans 6:23, if you'll jot that reference down. Many of you know these references. Here's the key, though. And you communicate this. Remember, you're not a salesman. You're seeking the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, I'm not setting the Holy Spirit of God over here and saying a plan is more important than the Holy Spirit. That's not true. You can have the most articulate plan in the book, whatever that is. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God helping you, you have nothing. And I can tell you, I've tried it without the Holy Spirit before. You don't get anywhere. And not because I was just because I thought I was something. It's because I didn't pray and ask the Lord's help enough and seek Him. And I wasn't ready. I'm just saying, a plan is vital, yes. But we must have the touch of God. We must have the Holy Spirit of God in filling us, in filling us. So if you get to the point in someone's that in your plan and they're not really convinced of their sin, you know what you need to do? You just need to stop right there. You need to leave it right there and just say, well, you know what? I'm going to pray with you. I would like to continue this conversation. I'd like to set up a time. Can we talk about this some more? And just pray right there for them. Because someone can't get saved till they know they're lost. They've got to be convicted that they need it. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. You explain to them that death is not physical only. It is physical, but it's spiritual. Another verse that you can write down is Revelation chapter 20, verse number 14. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 14. This explains the word death in Romans 6:23. Revelation 20:14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And this is a time where you can explain to them what they really already know. The body is not going to live forever. The body is going to die. But the Bible here clearly tells us that there is a second death. So the body dying is not the end of anything. It's only the beginning. And so the second death is due to our sin. For the wages of sin is death. And then you explain to them, what is a wage? They know, most people know what a wage is. They know what minimum wage is. When you say minimum wage, the lights come on, right? Because now we're talking about money. Wage equals payment. Okay? Somebody might have got a ticket tonight for that accident. Somebody may have been guilty. I don't know. I didn't witness it. I like to talk about, you know, the country of Canada has laws. And those laws are broken. There is a fine. There is a penalty. Far greater than the law of this land is the law of this book. And I say to them, we have violated the law of this book. You can go back and you can even look at this is a time where you could go back potentially, or even realizing your condition. A lot of people like to go back and read the Ten Commandments even and learn about those. And you can incorporate that into your plan. Some people do that. I don't normally use those, but I have before. I'm just saying, we've got to get people to the place where they see, and it's not us getting them there, but we've got to have a plan. We've got to be able to communicate. God loves you. You're a sinner. That's your condition. Sin has a penalty. God's word says that you and I, without Christ, deserve to go to hell. And you need to tell them that. Don't back off from the word hell. That's what the Bible says. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. If you're watching the live stream right now, I want you to know something. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you die tonight, you're going to go to hell. I didn't say that. I'm just telling you what God's Word says. You're condemned. But there's hope for you that are without Christ tonight. You're still alive. You're still breathing. That means there's hope for you. Stay tuned. Number four. We must see from the Bible that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid the penalty of all sin. We take them over to Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5, 8. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us. The word commendeth means he showed it to us. He demonstrated it to us. See, love always gives. God didn't just say, I love you. God showed us that he loved us by giving us his son, Jesus Christ. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then I go right back and I say, remember what the wages of sin was? Second death. That means what happened is this, Jonathan. Here's what happened, Jonathan. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, died on an old rugged cross. He became your substitute. He took your death on him. He took my death on him. My second death, my spiritual death, my death in hell. He took all of that on him for everyone ever been, who's ever been born before him, when he was alive, after him, which is us. He put all of that on him. And it's why at the very last moment of his life, in the middle of the afternoon, it went dark because his own father could not look on him because he had to turn his back on him. Why? Because all of the sin, my sin, Jonathan, your sin, Jonathan, it was placed on Jesus Christ. He became sin for us who knew no sin. I mean, I'm preaching right now, but you're just talking. I mean, maybe you're not giving it in a message like I am right now, but you're just showing. And really, to me, we ought to love to talk about it. Why? Because you're saved. You're telling them the greatest thing that ever happened to you. I'm telling them the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I went from darkness to light. I went from going to hell to going to heaven. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to a Christian when they got saved. There's no greater day. And then I say to them, 1 John 5:11 and 12. Jesus Christ paid the penalty. 1 John 5:11 and 12. I'm just giving you some extra verses. Maybe you want to write those down. I'm not going to read those for time. John 3:36. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I say, whoa, does that sound like fun? The wrath of God on you? If you're not saved, the wrath of God is on you. Without Christ, the wrath of God is on me. Without Christ, the wrath of God is on you. But if you believe, John said here, he that believeth on the Son has no wrath, he has everlasting life. So this is about the death. And then lastly, number five, we want to be able to communicate that by faith we receive God's gift of salvation. Some verses we can give, Romans 10, 9 through 11, Romans 10, 13. Romans 10, 9 to 11, Romans 10, 13. John 1, 12. I didn't have that one, but just thought of it. John 1, 12, which says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I remember when I was 12 years old, maybe 11. That was 36 years ago. For the first time in my life, I sat in a course on presenting the gospel. 12 years old, maybe 11. I don't know if I had a New Testament. I don't even know what I had. But I remember, I'd grown up in church. I heard the gospel from the very beginning of being in church, and I thank God for that. To whom much is given, much is required. Don't forget that, by the way. But I remember over 36 years ago, I am not the witness that I need to be. I need to be a greater witness. I need to be able to communicate in a far greater way the gospel. By the way, here's the thing. It's not about personality. It's not about articulation. It's about the power of God using the Word of God to bring salvation. How shall they hear
I think we can do in 2021. I think, I believe, I know, harvest. Meaning it's almost getting too ready, right? People are down, but not out. We have hope. We could communicate with them about a whole lot. The greatest thing